As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's go, man. Hair it, I'll do it.
You're listening to Here's the Catch with David Lombardi, Matt Barrows, and Dennis Brown on the Athletic Podcast Network.
All right, we were strategic about our podcasting plans this weekend. We realized that this was going to be an epic one across all four games, so we waited till it was all said and done, so that way we could cover the 49ers game at Lambeau Field. But then the ones that almost won up that, or probably did one up it on Sunday, the Tampa Bay Rams game won by LA, setting up the NFC Championship. 49ers against the Rams at SoFi Stadium, and then obviously the Bills in Kansas City. That was crazy. It felt like I was watching a video game on rookie mode. I mean, that's my friend who was so much better at me in Madden, you know, the video game when we were growing up. He would always really frustrate me because I thought that I would finally beat him and there'd be like 13 seconds left and he would still somehow find a way to drive the field and tie the game. I didn't think that was actually supposed to be possible in real life, but I guess Kansas City and Buffalo have made it possible with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. That being said, speaking of impossible things, the 49ers, Matt, pulled off a few more of them at Lambeau Field in a surreal environment. That was hands down one of the greatest victories in franchise history. That's how this will be remembered. People are going to see these shots decades from now. They'll see that snow falling. They'll see the 49ers celebrating at Lambeau. They'll remember them taking down Aaron Rodgers in what might be his last game in a Packers uniform. Who knows? But, I mean, given the stakes, given the opponent, given the setting, there hasn't been much to match that in 49ers history, Matt. We truly saw something epic on Saturday night.
Yeah, for sure. And I think surreal is the right word. I mean, that game in the 2013 playoffs was won the same way with a walk-off field goal. But that wasn't as good a Packers team. I think the Packers were the 4 seed. The 49ers were the 5 seed. Aaron Rodgers was injured that year. A lot of people thought that the 49ers were going to go in and win that game, and they did. Not as many people, Dennis, thought that the 49ers were going to win this one, including the Packers fans. You know, their team had a 2-week rest before the game. Aaron Rodgers is an MVP candidate. They won the division, number 1 seed, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody thought in that stadium, nearly everybody thought that the Packers were going to win it. And when that block punt happened and the ball shot up straight, literally straight into the air, 40 feet, 50 feet, and came down and Talanoa Hufanga gathered it up and went into the end zone, people had trouble processing what they saw in there. And they walked out of there, I don't know how many minutes later it was, say 25, and they were just stunned. They were like zombies. David saw it. I saw it. It was a very odd and hard to process. I think even for neutral people who are watching, I think that they were kind of stunned by how that game ended. Low scoring, but theatrics throughout the whole thing. How did you take it in? How did you enjoy it?
Listen, I woke up this morning, guys, and I was still thinking, how in the heck did the 49ers pull that football game out? And it was epic. And, you know, just to add to it, it was snowing. It looked like one of those snow glow, those little things that you would shake up and the snow's coming down. Eric Armstead sacking Aaron Rodgers on that third down. Robbie Gould on the sideline, him coming in, kicking that game-winning field goal. And just seeing the guys run around. And then seeing the look on Aaron Rodgers' face as he kind of walks off the field. He had to be thinking, these damn 49ers, I can't. First there's Colin Kaepernick, and then now there's Jimmy Garoppolo. I can't beat these guys. And just the frustration on his face. But then I looked, I kind of looked back at the game, and you held one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL in the second quarter or the second half to, 50-something yards. And, this is the lowest I think Aaron Rodgers has ever, points he's ever scored in a football game. So when I look back at it, and it was just crazy that the game was won on the special teams. And we've given so much flack to Hightower and his special teams group, and they show up in this football game, blocking a field goal, blocking a punt, and then Robbie Gould, of course, kicking a field goal. So, I woke up this morning still tripping. I was still going, man, the 49ers are in the NFC Championship game. They beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field in the snow. So it was epic. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the games today. It's been a good weekend of division football playoffs.
Well, let's, try to zoom out and give some perspective to what this means for the 49ers and their franchise history. I can think of only one weather triumph that, really takes this one and one ups it, and that's the January 1989 NFC Championship win over the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field and wind chills of about negative 28 degrees coming off of Lake Michigan. I mean, that was cold, 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 cold. I mean, this was just a couple colds. That was, based on everything I've heard, even more intense. And there were even more pregame rumblings that the 49ers were soft and not ready for the rugged Chicago winter back in January of 1989, and then they went into Soldier Field and they beat Mike Ditka's Bears. I think 28-3 was the final score. So that was a really resounding win, and I believe it was Keena Turner who said after the game, the finesse-ass 49ers just came in and kicked the Chicago Bears' ass in like negative 20-degree weather. That was the famous quote. And, obviously that was, part of the 49ers dynasty. That was right before they won Super Bowl number 3 and moved on to Super Bowl number 4. So it's going to be hard to top that, especially in a divisional playoff game. But just from a strictly visual perspective, Dennis, it's funny you call it the snow globe. The headline of my article had snow globe in it. I'm looking at this game from the press box. So I'm looking down on Lambeau Field. So all the players, are, wouldn't say they're specs, but they're definitely like little miniature figures, right? When you're looking down from the press box, they're not as big as they seem on TV, and it seemed to me that somebody shook up a snow globe, and I was just watching the 49ers and the Packers play football in the snow globe right underneath me, and I had to take a picture of it, and that's just still stuck in my head. I used the picture in the article when the 49ers were lining up around the 50-yard line on that winning drive. The special teams had set them up, the defense had set them up. Here's a stat for you: Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense averaged 2.5 yards per play in the second half. That was the number one offense in the league. 2.5 yards per play. I mean, just phenomenal stuff. But the offense finished it for the 49ers, obviously set up Robbie Gould to finish it. And to me, Matt, it was just so cool that the 49ers literally had to use every breadth of their, strength, every fiber of their being to win this game. They needed the offense at the end. They needed the special teams, obviously, and they needed the defense throughout to get this done. And they all performed there in crunch time to accomplish what was really a monumental victory.
Yeah, and they dug down deeply and summoned something. And I really thought that this was the end of the team. I mean, the way the game began and throughout the game, it was one guy after another who was just limping around. These were major, major figures. It was Trent Williams. It was Debo Samuel. George Kittle was taking a very long time to get up after plays. He had to ask the Packers players to help him up a couple of times. I just felt like, okay, this was it. Heroic effort this season. And they went even deeper. And I think that's just impressive. I know it impresses Kyle Shanahan and makes him an absolute believer in this team. And we have to be now because this was tough. I mean, I think that the temperature gives the defense an assist here. I mean, just look at the score. But, I mean, it was that temperature to begin the game, and Aaron Rodgers just marched right down the field and looked like they were about to do the same thing on their second possession. And that's when Fred Warner came in with that punch out, that peanut punch. And that really changed the game. I mean, that was the game-changing play. And I give Warner a lot of credit. I mean, he did not like the attitude on the sideline after the opening drive, 10-play drive, touchdown, easy for the Packers. And he said that, the guys were saying the right thing. They were nodding. And they're like, oh, this ends now. But he really didn't feel it, didn't feel the fire. And he lit one under them. And that's what you need to do. We talked about this a lot at the beginning of the season. Where's the fire? Where's the guy on the sideline, the Ronnie Lott? And apparently, Warner took it upon himself to do that. And I think that's exactly what you need from a team captain. And not only did he say that, Dennis, but he backed it up with that punch out. And he had a great game. A great game just as a tackler and in coverage, which is always the key to stopping Aaron Rodgers, whether it's Navarro Bowman or Patrick Willis, Dre Greenlaw or Fred Warner. They need to have those linebackers dropping into coverage, making a lot of plays and moving around really well. And I think he did that. He accomplished it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You know, leadership is everything, especially in a game like this when you got to go on the road. And then a team jumps out at you. Because after that first drive, I was just like, oh, you know, it looked like the Green Bay Packers were doing whatever they wanted to do. They were running the ball well. They were passing the ball well. Davante Adams was catching the ball. I think he caught his first 7 targets to him. It was just right down the football field, and then there was a touchdown. I was thinking, oh, man, so much for the rust, so much for the bye week. And then all of a sudden, after, like, you're right, after that fumble, it was the attitude changed. And, you know, I didn't know that Fred Warner said this on the sidelines, but then you go on the field and lead by example, that is huge. And then, so I don't know what happened because this defense turned it around. I mean, it was 3-and-out after that. And you could see the frustration on Aaron Rodgers' face. He was very frustrated. And even in the pocket, I mean, the pass rush was getting there. What did they have? 5 sacks? The pressures were there. And, you know, there was a couple times. And the coverage was good, too. It was sticky coverage. You know, after that first drive, you know, it almost felt like they're like, listen, Davante Adams is going to get his catch, but after he gets his catch, we got to tackle this cat. And that's what he got some shots, and they got him on the ground, some good hits on him. And then Aaron Rodgers looked frustrated. He was throwing a ball, you know, at folks at the ground. He's throwing the ball out of bounds. So I think the coverage was great, and then the pass rush kind of took off. I mean, these guys got a second wind, especially in the second quarter or the second half. They got after Aaron Rodgers. They're getting in his face. They're getting in his passing lane, and they're getting him on his back. And he was getting very frustrated. So yeah, leadership is everything, you know. And you know the Green Bay Packers did that thing that you can't do. You can't let a team stick around. You know, you let the 49ers stick around long enough, they get some confidence, get some momentum, get some rhythm, and next thing you know, you've lost a football game. So, you know, I got to say, you know, Aaron Rodgers, in my book, he choked. He choked in the second half. I mean, he had no yards. You know, he looked like, you know, he looked like he had, you know, that bye week rust on him, and it was the second half of the football game. In his weather, his element where, you know, usually does really well. So, you know, hats off to D'Amico Ryans. I don't know what the game plan was in the second half, but, you know, these guys really stood up and made a lot of big plays.
Well, both Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo had the ball, a chance with the ball in their hands to move their offense into winning position at the end of the game. Rodgers didn't do the job and Garoppolo did. You're absolutely right, Dennis. 55 passing yards for Aaron Rodgers in the second half. And the offense that he oversaw, 2.5 yards per play. That's really bad. That's
right.
That's it. It's anemic. That might be the second worst half of Aaron Rodgers' career, following only the first half of the 2019 regular season game against the 49ers. Meanwhile, nobody's saying that Garoppolo was great or prolific statistically, although I think, it was interesting to me, his performance. I thought he was the only 49ers offensive player who showed up in the first quarter. I thought that Jimmy was playing really well, and he had three passes in the first quarter that were all right on the money, and the 49ers dropped every single one of them. Right, George Kittle dropped what should have been a touchdown. There was a blitz on third down where Garoppolo somehow got it off and got it to Juwan Jennings. He couldn't hold on to it. And there was that other play where Brandon Ayuk got hit and he dropped the ball. They said it was a fumble, then they overturned it, but it was still a drop. He still wasn't able to hang on to it. I think if any one of those three catches goes in the 49ers' favor early in the game, they would have stabilized that game a whole lot sooner, because they just couldn't get into offensive rhythm, and Tom Compton was getting destroyed at right tackle. There was an ugly play where Laken Tomlinson got pancaked by Za'Darius Smith. I mean, the whole 49ers offense was discombobulated outside of Garoppolo, and then Garoppolo joined the party of errors late in the first half when he threw that interception that was inexcusable, right, to Adrian Amos. So trying to go for George Kittle on an off-schedule play, in those conditions, you can't try to force that ball, because it's going to be borderline impossible to get enough velocity on that ball when you're throwing through, gale force winds and ice in the air. So Jimmy kind of hit that little dip in his play in the middle of the game. It stretched into the second half. 49ers desperately needed something, and they got the special teams play that revived them. And then Jimmy finished the game with two big, big completions. And Matt, I kind of want to talk about the end game here, because you had the completion to Kittle on the slant. Then you had a really nice one where Garoppolo was kind of fading away from the pass rush, and he fired one into Deebo Samuel, who hit him in stride, and every single yard mattered there. And, it was a pass to set up the run kind of game, right? Because the Packers were going to try to take away the run at all costs. But when Garoppolo hit those two passes in the final drive, the 49ers then hit that 3rd and 7. And guess what? The Packers were a nickel. The Packers thought that the 49ers were going to pass. The 49ers thought they were going to pass too. But they saw that nickel package. They called a timeout. And they went to the draw. And that was the same exact play, that draw to Deebo Samuel, that the 49ers ran to Raheem Mostert in the NFC Championship game for the 36-yard touchdown two seasons ago. I mean, there was just so much poetry and, parallels and to all these other games. I mean, it was just down the stretch. You couldn't even make this up. I mean, 3rd and 7 is what erased the 49ers' nightmare of 37 seconds left to Aaron Rodgers. That 3rd and 7 made sure Aaron Rodgers stayed on the bench. So everything that had tormented the 49ers since week 3, they got rid of on that one play when Deebo Samuel rumbled to that first down.
Yeah, I was looking at my notes on the plane ride back today, and on that drive, I wrote real zip, because I was wondering about Garoppolo and his arm strength and whether the thumb, the shoulder was bothering him. Three of those passes to the sideline, including that Adrian Amos interception, just had nothing on them. They just fluttered out there and were just TD balls. The 49ers feel like Garoppolo cheated death on two of those. I think one was to Elijah Mitchell. The other was to Charlie Warner. Just hung up there and he didn't get anything on him. But I don't think ultimately that the thumb and the shoulder were affecting his throws, because when he pushed the ball downfield, and this is his sweet spot in the middle of field, short, medium throws, they look great. His arm strength looked just as good as Aaron Rodgers did. And I think it's because, and Garoppolo touched on this a bit afterward, you know, he's just was not able to plant his feet on that field like he normally likes to on a lot of those throws. A lot of those throws, he was kind of escaping bad protection and just kind of winged it out there, but didn't really get his lower body. That's where Jimmy Garoppolo has his strength. He's got a strong lower body, thick lower body. When he steps into the throw, he gets zip on it. And that's what was lacking on the sideline stuff, but was in abundance, I thought, in the second half on the over-the-middle things. And Dennis, that's what marched them down the field. Those two nice nice throws, and then what David just described, that setup for the Deebo Samuel slash Raheem Mostert run, and Deebo is very much the Raheem Mostert, the home run hitter that they bring in when they need something like that, and it all worked to perfection in that last 2 minutes.
Yeah, and talk about grit and just, you know, leaving it on the football field. And, you know, Deebo was banged up. I don't know if he got the wind knocked out of him or he got hit in the ribs, but he took a shot and came out the game for a while in that last drive. I mean, I can remember seeing it on television, him limping off the field, I think, even after that play. And then, you know, seeing Trent Williams just limping off the field, but, you know, staying in the football game. And of course, Jordan Willis, you know, I don't think he was even expected to play in the game with that ankle sprain. And he comes in and he blocks a kick, becomes, you know, gets the game ball. So, you know, these guys, I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's playoff time and it's urgency. It's one and done. But it really felt like these guys showed a lot of grit. George Kittle just, you know, you said it, being helped up after plays. And, you know, these guys they've had a long football season. And I think a lot of us gave up on them. You know, thought the season was over, and they just kind of fought back. And, you know, that Rams game, that first Rams game was kind of the turnaround, and then they get some momentum, and then they lose some football games, and everyone's, you know, jumping on Jimmy Garoppolo, and then all of a sudden he starts playing well, the defense, the pass rush comes in, and now here we are, you know, you go on the road, you beat Dallas, and now you go on the road and you beat Green Bay, and now, you know, you got to go on the road back to the Rams where you just kind of dominate. So, you know, it's been a long season, but these guys have really shown me a lot. I mean, I was one of those guys that was thinking the season might have been over when they were, what, 3-5 or whatever it was, or after that Indianapolis loss, I thought the season might have been over. But these guys, you know, they showed me a little bit of something. They showed me a little bit of heart, and, you know, I'm impressed. These last two games, the last three games, I've been super yeah, impressed with this. I mean, it feels like they've been in the playoffs for 3 weeks, and they've looked fantastic. You know, at times the offense is off, but defense makes up for it. Defense is off, offense makes up for it. And this week, you know, special teams makes up for everybody. So I'm impressed by the guys.
Yeah, and I mean, they haven't played a complete game yet in this three-game playoff stretch, right? It's the opposite of 2019, where they just blew everybody out in the playoffs. They took care of the Vikings, and then they just absolutely obliterated the Packers in that title game. So it was a clear path at home to the Super Bowl for the 49ers. This time, they're taking the hard route. And I am wondering if that hard route is going to benefit them in the long run, if they are now battle-hardened, if they're tougher than that 2019 team, which ultimately didn't go all the way, which ultimately collapsed in the fourth quarter of that Super Bowl. Maybe the fire that the 49ers have gone through over the past 3 weeks is what's needed to, you know, harden the steel so that they can get through these final two games. The 49ers are two wins away from hoisting their sixth Lombardi trophy. They're not far away right now. So, I mean, it's, you know, NFC championship, you're right there. You're knocking on the doorstep, but obviously they need something a little extra from compared to what they had in 2019. They had a great team that year, but they need something a little extra. Maybe that little bit of extra has been forged here over the course of the adversity of this season and over the course of the past 3 weeks. And, you know, we may start getting part of our answer this next weekend at SoFi Stadium, because the 49ers are headed back to play the Rams. It will be one of those full circle things, because this playoff run started in week 18 with a game against the Rams, one where the 49ers rose from the dead. They were down 17-0. They tied it up at 24. They won in overtime. I'm wondering now, Matt, is this the week that we finally see the 49ers put together a full game, or at least three quarters of a game, not just one half of a game, where that they squeak by in the end? That's really impressive to me that they can win against these good teams not playing great for 60 minutes. But, you know, I am waiting for everything to kind of fall together for the 49ers. Maybe that's just not in their identity. Maybe everything's going to be torture with this team. But I do think that they're due for a more commanding performance, and it sure would be a good time for it this week against the Rams.
Yeah, that wouldn't be in keeping with the 2021 49ers, though. They need the drama, like George Kittle says, that this team is made for TV. The TV loves them, and I really think it was the best game. I think Dennis probably agrees with me. I just thought that the defense just made it special, sort of a throwback game. But the Rams, you know, will be a challenge like they always are. I mean, that the Week 18 game, the 49ers definitely had more to play for than the Rams. They also were playing essentially a home field with, 75% of the stadium being 49ers fans. I don't think it's going to be quite that for this game. You know, the Rams, the Chargers, they're still filling out their fan base down there in Southern California. And I think the 49ers are going to benefit. I mean, I think the Rams really did them a huge favor. A lot of people have been tweeting me saying, oh, it's so hard to beat a team three times in a season. Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, it's hard to beat a team one time in a season. You know, these teams are really familiar with each other, being division rivals, basically running the same offensive system. So I don't know if the familiarity thing favors the Rams or not. I think probably the emotional element of it, you know, a little bit of the Rams focusing, not letting these guys beat us three times, is probably a bigger factor. But as David just said, I mean, there's a resolve about these 49ers. They don't flinch. Whereas the Rams, wow, that game today, it had a Bad News Bears quality to it. Like, everything that could go wrong with the Rams did. That errant snap, to me, is one of the lasting images from that game. And the ball went right past Matthew Stafford's face mask at the most inopportune time. I mean, it was just a calamity. And they pulled it out, you know, with some great, fantastic Stafford throws. But it just got silly there for a while. And, you know, the 49ers, as David said, have been hardened. And they've been in playoff mode for a while now. And I think that benefits them. I don't think that teams can just kind of flip it on when they need to. If you're used to playing that way, it's sort of that old adage, you play how you practice. If you practice all the time really hard, you're going to play that way. And the 49ers have been in this mode for about a month now. I'm certainly not going to pick against them, Dennis, in this game coming up.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough to pick against them because the way they're playing. And, you know, in the playoffs, ugly, it doesn't matter as long as you get the win. And the 49ers have figured out just win the football game. And that's what they've done. Whatever it takes, you know, whatever level it is, just win football games. And they've won some ugly football games. They've had to come back and win football games. They had to, you know, show up on special teams. Defense had to do something big. And they've just kind of made it happen. So, you know, their mentality right now is, you know, they're in that playoff mode. And they're in that mode where guys just need to make plays. And we talk about Fred Warner. I mean, one of the leaders of the football team, he's thinking to himself, I've just got to make a play. And I think that's the attitude. You know, Kaywan Williams, Jaquaski Tartt, all those guys, I think, are in that mode. Eric Armstead. Think about Eric Armstead. Look at his stats for the last 3 weeks. He's just decided he's going to rush the passer. He's going to get sacked. He's going to do his part when he's in the football game. So they're in that mode right now. So if they can keep that urgency up, good week of practice, you know, take a short flight to L.A. And understand what's in front of them. You know, you beat the Rams again. It doesn't matter if you beat them 10 times in a row. I mean, it just shows that you know how to beat them. And with the Rams, you know, you got to out physical them. You got to be physical at the line of scrimmage. You know, they got a good defensive line. Yeah, 49ers have a great defensive line. So you just got to be, you got to out physical them at the line of scrimmage and reestablish the line of scrimmage. So you know how to beat them. So it makes it easy. You know how to beat them. Just have to figure out how to get yourself there and go in there and take care of business.
You know, one thing the 49ers have in their favor that they didn't last week, they were the team playing on a short week. And not only that, the team they were playing, the Packers, was coming off a bye. So, right, the 49ers went from a Sunday game to a Saturday game, and Green Bay had the whole entire week off. Well, this time, because the 49ers did play on Saturday, they're going from Saturday to Sunday. That's an extra day of rest. And their opponent, the Rams, played on Sunday. So they're going Sunday to Sunday. So that, and also, you know, I mentioned this around halftime of the Rams-Tampa Bay game. I said, 49ers, you know, you can't really realistically expect Tampa Bay to come back and win this game because they were so far behind. But 49ers at least hoped that Tampa Bay would make a game of it, right? So they would tax the Rams a bit. And Tampa Bay did all that and more. They tied the game up there late. And that did tax the Rams down the stretch. So both the 49ers and the Rams are coming off strenuous games, you know, at least a couple time zones away from the West Coast. The 49ers was probably more physically challenging because it came in severe weather conditions, but they do and did have that extra day to recover from it. So we'll see if that all evens out. But at the very least, Matt, the 49ers won't be at a rest disadvantage this week. At the very least, they should be even with the Rams.
Yeah, and the Rams are, you know, in Florida. They had a long trip. I think they played well over 70 snaps. You know, the 49ers were in the high 50s. I'm not sure what kind of how taxing it is to play in that cold. I'm sure it's got to be more so than any other environment. So that's a factor. But you know, they were kind of on their sofas on Sunday, relaxing. Fred Warner was talking about sleep. I mean, that's another reason why he's such a good leader. He's a responsible guy too. I mean, he's the one who's sort of setting the tone as far as, you know, getting the adequate amount of sleep and all that kind of scientific stuff. So, you know, they Dennis is right. They know what it takes to beat this team. You know, the game is going to be close, and I don't think it, you can expect the 49ers just to go in there and dominate the Rams at all. But you know, they do have things to their advantage. They won that game in Week 18 with Colton McKivitz as the left tackle, with some COVID issues as well. So we don't know what's going to happen with Trent Williams. It seems as if it's a I don't want to say run of the mill lower ankle sprain because it seems severe, but it's not the high ankle sprain, the serious high ankle sprain that's going to keep him out for 5 weeks or so. So my guess is that he's back in the lineup, and that's something that they didn't have, and they still beat this team a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and they're still the Rams. I mean, it's playoff, it's NFC Championship. They're still the Rams, the same Rams. Knock them in the mouth, pop them in the mouth, they'll give up. And that's why that's what the 49ers have been doing for years. To the LA, Anaheim, whatever Rams. You pop them in the mouth, they give up. They have a lot of respect for this organization because we beat up on them so much. So, you know, I think that's got to be the mentality. You know, you own this team, you own this organization, go down there and take care of business. But I do have to admit, I was kind of watching the Rams and Tampa play. I was kind of hoping that Brady was going to pull that win out today. And then the 49ers fly to Tampa and play Tom Brady, because I would love to see the 49ers goal rush just get after Tom Brady and watch him get frustrated. That didn't happen, but I was kind of hoping for that, to see the old man get beat up a little bit.
He did get beat up a little bit, though. Didn't he have a bloody lip in that game?
How about that lip? The blood, yeah.
That lip thing. I was just sitting there thinking, I would love to see Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, DJ Jones just kind of pounce on Tom Brady, because he's a statue. You look at him, he just stands in the pocket. He has so much trust in his offensive line. But I would have loved to see, you know, the 49ers pass rush go against Tampa Bay's offensive line and just dominate and just beat up on Tom Brady. Is that rude? Yeah,
and
what?
I thought it was in the cards, you know. I thought that's how, you know, they're talking about Brady potentially retiring now, and God, what better way for him to go out than a game against his hometown team, right? The 49ers against the quarterback who was initially brought to New England to replace him. And Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, the whole master and apprentice thing, if we want to borrow another Star Wars reference there. But it didn't happen. I just thought that would have been a perfect capper to a four-game stretch. You know, you'd have Rams, Cowboys, Packers, and then Brady. And instead we get it bookended by the Rams, which is intriguing in a different way. But to me, we've already seen that game. So I personally just wanted to see that new storyline, but it seemed that it was on its way to happening, but it didn't. Oh well. So we just move on and we watch the 49ers and the Rams. Anyway, we're keeping this one a little bit shorter because we're a little bit further after the game. We're going to talk to you guys a little bit more coming up, but that was fun. We talked about the 49ers and the Packers, and we looked ahead to the 49ers and the Rams. NFC Championship coming up. This 49ers team will not stop. Even though you think they might be dead, they pop right back up and they keep on fighting, and that's what's made this run so special to cover. For Matt Barrows and Dennis Brown, this is David Lombardi. We'll talk to you next time.